thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Good evening. Dean, welcome, as Mark has already said, tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you could turn with me, please, to Psalms. Look at Psalms in the middle of our Bibles in Psalm 145. Psalm 145 tonight, and you can follow along on the screen in a minute or two. So tonight is indeed a very special and notable night. It is the 5th of November, and for all you young people in school, you will know that the 5th of November is a very special and indeed significant night, which was known as the Gunpowder Plot. And of course, that indeed was a plot where back in 1605, history is remarkable, and in 1605 there was that plot to kill the king, and King James the First. And on the 5th of November, he was to hold a special ceremony, and in the Houses of Parliament. And of course, we know of that time that Guy Fawkes had planned to blow up the Houses of Parliament, not only to kill the king, the queen, and their son, Prince Charles, and all of the government of that day. And beneath the Houses of Parliament, there were 36 barrels of explosives planned over a period of about 18 months with that intent to kill everyone. And of course, we know of Guy Fawkes and his conspirators with that plot. And indeed, they were caught red-handed before that plot was successful. And in 1603, King James had came to the throne. And between those two opposing religions and kingdoms, there was much conflict. And Guy Fawkes had reckoned that the only way was to remove the king from his throne. And of course, we know the plot was a failure, that they were found out and indeed were led to the Tower of London, where indeed they were eventually tried and put to death for treason, as it was in those days. Since 1200 years of reign in the United Kingdom, there has been, interestingly, 63 monarchs over that period of time. And if I can refer to one other really interesting story about kingdoms and monarchs. And there was a king in 1016 who was called King Canute. And he was very much a king, a good king, who promoted Christianity throughout the kingdom of Great Britain. He was Danish by origin, and he had placed his throne on the banks of the Thames, waiting for the tide to come in. And as the tide arose, he stood with his hand out, demanding that the waters would recede. And the king commanded that his chair would be set on the shore, and when the tide began to rise, and he spoke to the tide as it came in and said, "You are part of my dominion. The ground that I am seated on is mine. I am the king, and no one has ever disobeyed my orders. Therefore, I order you not to rise onto my land, or wet my clothes, or the body of your lord." But the sea carried on rising as usual, without any reference for his person, soaked his legs and his feet. And folks, these are wise words of counsel. And today, if our leaders would take heed to what he said, he moved away and he said these words: "All the inhabitants of the world should know that the power of kings is vain and trivial, and that none is worthy of the name of the king but whose command the heaven, earth, and sea obey by eternal laws." King Canute knew his power was nothing besides that of the Almighty God of heaven. And tonight, as we turn to Psalm 45, we see here, 145, a kingdom where the psalmist David praised God for who he is and for what he does. And again, in the opening words of verse 1, I extol you, my King, my God, O King. And if you think of David, who was the king of Israel, and straight away he recognizes here that God is the King of kings and David's king too. So let's read these first 13 verses here together tonight. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion. He is slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. And here's our focus verse tonight. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Our current monarch is King Charles III, and he's so distinguished as he succeeds the others by calling them first, second, and third. And here the psalmist identifies that the king is Jehovah, the first and the last. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Generations throughout the ages come and go like shadows on a wall, but God's kingdom reigneth forever. And throughout the pages of Scripture, there's many times when the kingdom of God, we see his reigning kingdom over the kingdom of darkness. I think of Moses leaving the land of Egypt on that night when the firstborn of the Egyptian family was killed. And when the Lord said, when I shall see the blood, I will pass over at you. I think of Elijah confronting the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, again displaying the almighty power of God being displayed there. I think of young David standing before a Goliath, and those two kingdoms coming together to clash, and there we see his power to overcome. I think of a Daniel being thrown into a den of lions, being preserved by the mighty power of God. And tonight I also think on the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And many of us here tonight identify with Calvary's victory. It was the Apostle Paul who adds that through the cross, Jesus disarmed the rulers and authorities. He put them to open shame by triumphing over them, reigning victorious over that kingdom. And in 1 Peter 3:22, he has gone into heaven, who tonight is seated at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subject to him. And tonight, for a few moments, I want to focus on kingdoms. Two kingdoms tonight, physical and spiritual kingdoms. In this world that we live in tonight, there's some 195 different countries or kingdoms. And in each of those countries or kingdoms, there is a president or there is a monarch. And as we know, there are many languages, there are many different cultures. And each country, of course, has its borders that separate it from the neighboring countries. But all around us tonight, there's also a spiritual world that you and I cannot see or touch, but it exists. And the Bible clearly speaks of two kingdoms. And tonight we are standing here in the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. But spiritually speaking, we live in one of two kingdoms. You either live in the kingdom of God or you live in the kingdom of the devil. There is no middle ground. I make that point tonight. There is no middle ground. You live in one of two kingdoms. And within those kingdoms, there are spiritual rulers, two spiritual rulers. In every country of the world, the government is important, or at very least it should be. The government, if it is good, it works for the people, then generally life will be satisfactory. It will be of good quality. But if on the contrast to that, a country where the government is bad or corrupt, it is often hard or difficult to live in those countries. And the same is true of the spiritual kingdoms. The kingdom of God is ruled by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he and he alone is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords, the King who rules, who reigns supreme in the kingdom of God. And when he lived here some 2,000 years ago, the Bible tells us that he went about doing good. It tells us in Acts 10 and 38 that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Everywhere he went, he met people, and he met people at the point of their need. Yes, he fed the hungry. He performed miracles. He raised the dead. And there's a beautiful account in Luke's Gospel in chapter 4 where we read that he arose from the synagogue at the end of a busy day teaching, and he just simply entered into Simon Peter's house, just an ordinary fisherman's house. And Simon's wife, mother, she was sick with a high fever, and they made a request of him concerning that lady. So when he stood over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. Such was his power and authority. But we also read in the following verse, when the sun was setting, all those who were sick with various diseases were brought to him. He laid his hands on every one of them. One of those just small sentences in the Bible. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Think of that mass tonight of sickness, of illness, and every one of them was healed. Such is his sovereign power. He said of himself in John 10 and verse 10, he says that I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly, life to the full. And he is a good king who wants continually to bless everyone who lives in his kingdom. And he wants to forgive all the bad that we have ever done, which the Bible clearly calls sin, which separates us from a holy God. And he wants to bring us to heaven to enjoy that wonderful eternal life there with him. And he told his disciples before he went to the cross in John 14 with these words of comfort. He said to them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's the assurance we have as believers tonight. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, how do we know where you're going? How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no one comes to the Father except through me. That prepared place of heaven. In heaven there will be no more sickness, no more pain, no more death, no more separation. The Bible tells us that every tear will be wiped away, for the former things have passed away. The kingdom of heaven. In contrast to the kingdom of heaven, there's the kingdom of the devil, which is ruled by Satan. We know from scripture that he rebelled against God and his desire was to be worshipped. God couldn't allow that wicked rebellion in heaven, and Satan was thrown out and the angels who followed him. Be clear that his only purpose tonight is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We're told that in John 10:10. In our world today, with this confusion, its wickedness, its evil happenings all around us, that influence originates from the devil. It is his desire for us to spend eternity with him in that terrible place that the Bible calls hell, which is that lake of fire, that place of endless torment. And he knows his final destination and wants to bring as many people as possible with him. So my question tonight is this: which kingdom are you in? Jesus spoke these words that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, that there is no one comes to the Father except through him. That if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And simply tonight, if you have never asked Jesus into your life to forgive your sins and to give you eternal life, you are living in the kingdom of the devil. There is only one way, and the Bible makes that clear. There is but one way to enter into the kingdom of heaven, and it is by asking Jesus to come into your life and to save you from the devil and his kingdom. Regardless of how you see yourself in terms, in spiritual terms, there is no middle ground between these two spiritual kingdoms. We're all too familiar in these days of wars in our world. I think of Ukraine, I think of Israel tonight, where those nations' borders have been breached by other countries. And we know that a border is a line which separates one country from another. And we usually see a border being defined by security fences or security posts, which marks the ownership of a country. And simply put, you're either on one side of the border or the other. There is no space, no space in the middle. Soldiers from each country control those border crossing locations. And as you approach the border, you make that conscious decision to cross the border from one country into another. You can't live on the border. That simply isn't permitted. And it's the same in the spiritual world which is around us. You make that decision. Will you live in the kingdom of God or in the kingdom of the devil? Again, I say there is no middle ground. No middle ground. If you're living in the devil's kingdom and you know that you are in the wrong place, and that's what we pray tonight, that the Holy Spirit will speak into your life tonight, that you will know you are in the wrong place, spiritually speaking, and you want to get out of there. The good news is tonight that you can change kingdoms, that you can leave the kingdom of the devil and cross the border into the kingdom of God. To move between countries, you need a passport. That passport is an official document issued by the government. It certifies your identity, Your citizenship, it entitles you to travel under the protection of that country. And tonight, what is the spiritual passport we need to get into heaven? I clearly say to you tonight, it is not a denomination. It's not what you and I have done or can ever do of ourselves. Your passport to move out of the devil's kingdom and into the kingdom of heaven is one that is stamped, forgiven. That's all that matters. Being forgiven of our sins. No other stamp makes a difference in the presence of God. The Bible has a word for being forgiven. It's in the New Testament word that is called justified. Again, simply put, just as if I had never sinned, being declared righteous in the sight of a holy God. Justified is a legal term which refers to what God does when we trust in Christ as our Savior. When we put our faith in Christ alone for salvation, God justifies us. He declares we are no longer guilty based on what Christ did for us on the cross. In Romans 5 and 5 and verse 1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way we are allowed into the kingdom of heaven is to be forgiven of our sins. There is not many ways to enter into heaven. There is but only one way, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ, where he proclaimed clearly, I am the way. There is no one comes to the Father in the kingdom of heaven except through him. What is the stamp on your spiritual passport tonight? Is it forgiven? Have you been forgiven of your sins through faith in Jesus as your Savior? In our gathering tonight, he is standing at the border decision of your life with your passport in his hand to cross from death to life and enter into the kingdom that he has prepared for you. He is the only one who can set you free. He is the only one that can permit you access into his kingdom. And once you cross that border from one country to another, the ruling power of that country ends. And I can say tonight is the same in the spiritual world. In the same way, the devil has no power in the kingdom of God. And Jesus answered in John chapter 8 and verse 36, we read these words, that most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And that's what you are in the kingdom of the devil. You're a slave. You live a life of bondage. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son, in contrast, abides forever in God's kingdom. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Once you cross the border, the devil has no power over you. And I think tonight in the parable of the prodigal son in Luke's gospel, yes, he was living in a different kingdom. He had joined himself to a citizen of that country. Yes, he was a slave in bondage. He had no hope, stripped of all his dignity, feeding pigs and eating the very food that they did eat. But when he came to himself, he journeyed to the kingdom of his father. And there he was established as a son. He was forgiven. He was accepted into the family to abide forever. No longer a slave. He now had purpose. He now had identity. And he now belonged. And that is what God can do for you. He can give you that purpose in your life. He can give you identity. He can give you that belonging as a child of God. And sadly today, We often see from those war-torn regions, all too prevalent on our TVs at this time, of those war-torn regions of refugees who are trying to leave those areas of conflict with little or nothing of life's possessions, of food or clothing, standing at those border crossing points and being guarded by soldiers to try and get out of those war-torn regions into a safe country. But those routes are often closed. There's no access that is physically possible. But I say to you tonight, in contrast again, in the spiritual world, the message of the gospel is so different, where no one is turned away at the border of the kingdom of God. The gospel invitation is one of welcome. It is one of come, where Jesus said in John 6 and 37, the one who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Whoever comes to me, I will welcome you into the kingdom. And no one who comes to Jesus will be rejected. And in Romans 10 and 13, we also read there that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wherever you are tonight, whatever your circumstances, there is no possibility of rejection. There is no possibility of being turned away. There is room in the kingdom of God for everyone who by faith enters in. And of course, we know tonight that the devil will try and stop you of leaving his kingdom. He ultimately wants you to stay with him. And we know his main tactic is to tell you lies. The scriptures tell us that the devil is a liar. He is the father of lies. And he will try anything to keep you on his side. He will be saying to you even tonight, you don't need to follow Jesus. God will let you into heaven when you die. You are a good person. You don't need to go into the kingdom of God. Just continue as you are. Things will be fine. Just follow your religion as long as you are sincere. Stay with me. Live a life. Have a great time. You have plenty of time. Don't upset your family or your friendship relationships. He will try everything to encourage you to stay in that kingdom of darkness. I urge you tonight, do not listen anymore to the lies of the devil. Make that conscious decision to cross the border into the kingdom of God. And how do we change from those spiritual kingdoms? In John's gospel, we know the story, I'm sure, of that man called Nicodemus. He was a religious teacher. He knew a lot about God and religion. But spiritually speaking, this is the reality of it tonight, he still was living in the kingdom of the devil. Religion won't save you and bring you to the kingdom of God. Religion is a choice. It is rules. It is regulations. It is ceremonies. And simply put, religion is the hand of man trying to reach up and touch God, but it never works. And again, in contrast, the gospel of Jesus, however, is the hand of God reaching down to men and women, young people, and rescuing anyone who asks to be saved from the devil's kingdom. Yes, Nicodemus had many questions. He knew that Jesus was different. He knew that Jesus was the Son of God, the Savior of the world. But he still was confused. He still wondered about the kingdom of God and how he could enter it. And Jesus looked at him and said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And of course, Jesus was referring to a spiritual rebirth. When you call upon the name of Jesus, ask him to save you and bring you into the kingdom of God, then on the inside, you are born again. The Bible teaches that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. And spiritually speaking, it is essential to be born again if we are to enter the kingdom of God. And how can we do this? And again tonight, I just simply say to you tonight, how do we cross that border out of the kingdom of Satan and into the kingdom of God? Admit that you have sinned and done wrong in the eyes of a holy God. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God who came to this world, who died on a cross to take the punishment for your sin and mine. Believe that he rose again on the third day. And the Bible tells us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Omit, believe, and confess that Jesus is your Savior and Lord. When you confess that Jesus is your Lord, you're recognizing him as your King. He immediately launches that rescue operation in the spiritual world. He lifts you out of the enemy country in the kingdom of Satan across the border. He places you within the kingdom of God, and you have that new citizenship, and your passport stamp, it reads forgiven. You are a new person. The old things have passed away. You're new, now right in the sight of a holy God, cleansed from sin, a citizen of the kingdom of God, and the devil has no power over you. Jesus' words, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And I can say to you tonight with absolute assurance, there is no penetration of this border into the spiritual kingdom of God. He will never refuse you. He will never turn you away. It doesn't matter how bad you are or how deep you are within that enemy country, within the kingdom of darkness. His word to your heart tonight is, he will save you. And I say to you tonight, people of God, do not be found living near the border of the enemy country. It's in those border regions where there is danger, where you are prone to attack. We know that the devil is the accuser of the brethren, and yes, that he tries to snare. And yes, I say to you, don't listen to the lies and deceit of the enemy. We are told to submit ourselves to God, to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. No matter where you are tonight, there is a godly kingdom to press into. And folks, here's the challenge as I finish tonight. Which kingdom are you living in? There's only two possibilities. There is no middle ground. You're on one side or the other. If you've never made that decision to follow Jesus, you, spiritually speaking, are in the devil's kingdom. He has power over you tonight. But in these moments, as I finish tonight, you can be rescued from that kingdom of darkness. You can change sides. You can cross that spiritual border out of the devil's kingdom and into the kingdom of God. You have the choice. As you sit here tonight, that choice is yours. God has given you free will. It is your choice. It is your decision tonight to come into the kingdom of God. He is calling you to cross that spiritual border, enter into the kingdom for time and for eternity through that border crossing of Calvary's finished work. I leave you one verse as I finish here tonight from Colossians 1, verse 12 and 14, where we're told there that he has delivered us, believers. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. We have been conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, delivered from Satan's domain. And that word has the idea of rescue, of a sovereign power. And folks, what a privilege it is tonight to know that we have been rescued by our Heavenly Father, in whom we have redemption through his blood, And redemption again is that legal word where the ransom has been paid. The price for our release was paid by the blood of Jesus. As I finish tonight, but God has provided a way for you to enter into his kingdom. This is your opportunity to be rescued by that hand of Almighty God reaching into your life as you sit in here tonight. And in these moments, he is reaching out to you in love to draw you into his eternal kingdom. I urge you tonight, if it's you who the Holy Spirit is speaking to tonight, speak to some of us before you leave this place tonight. Handing across to Mark again and the worship team are coming to lead us in that great old hymn, "Would You Be Free from Your Burden of Sin?" There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb, that the stains of sin are lost in its life-giving flow. That there is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.